Okay, our reading this morning, if you have your Bibles, you should have them. If not a physical one, you should have it on your phone. And we're going to look at some verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me just read it. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. What a lovely verse that is. I don't know about you, but I hate religion. I hate religion because religion it seems to be the essence of war and conflict around the world. I hate religion. Religion is a way of people striving to enter peace with a God, and anything could be a God, hoping to find some kind of rest, hoping to find some kind of peace. Religion is based on doing things, certain rituals, whether that be prayer, worship, or whatever. But the best word we can use to describe Christianity is done. Done. It's done. I don't have to strive anymore. A God is working for you in order that you enter his rest and peace. I need to come and learn and find his rest. And maybe for those of you gathered this morning, particularly for those of you maybe watching online, there's still strife going on and unrest and unpeace. Maybe because of the lockdown, and it's gone on and on and on and on. And you think, where's hope? Where's life? And this is a word I believe for all of us as believers, because God wants you to enter his rest. Regardless of the circumstances around you, regardless of how you might feel inside of you, God wants you to enter his rest. Amen. God has provided rest for you. You don't have to strive any longer. Listen to what verse 10 says. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. God created creation, as we know, and then he rested. But it's interesting, when God created Adam on the sixth day, Adam rested, then worked. And it's important that we understand the sequence, lest we end up with religion working, hoping to find peace and rest. First of all, we rest, and then we work, because it is God who works in us. And we have been learning, as we've been looking at Ephesians, that God has not only quickened us, but he raised us up to make us sit together with him in heavenly places. And when we are sitting, what are we doing? We are resting. We're trusting in something. Ron is sitting on a chair this morning, and he's believing that chair is holding his weight. He's not having to do anything. He's just sitting, trusting. And spiritually, we need to understand what it is to sit and rest. Not to try and strive in our own ability and strength, hoping to work it all out, but to sit with him and understand we are sitting with him in heavenly places. So we are trusting what? We are trusting in the finished work of Christ. From the beginning of the fall, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3, God has been working through the ages to secure our salvation, to secure our reconciliation. And we see the climax of that when darkness fell upon the world when Jesus was hanging on a cross. And suddenly, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of darkness, he cries out, "It is finished." In other words, the debt has been paid. It's paid. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 10, the writer reminds us that he, as our high priest, offered himself with one single sacrifice. Let's read. Under the old covenant, the priest stands, and he ministers before the altar day after day. And that happened day after day, month after month, and particularly on the Day of Atonement, once a year, he would offer a sacrifice, offering the same sacrifices again and again and again. And that was a perpetual thing that happened month after month, year after year. But can never take away sins. It was just a covering for that period of time. It was limited. Listen, look at the contrast. This high priest would stand, but our high priest, Jesus. Oh, let's get our focus this morning. It's all about him, Jesus. Our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Amen. There doesn't need to be another sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice him every Sunday. Amen. We don't have to sacrifice him every week, because there's only one sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. And what did he do? Then he sat down in place of honor at the right hand of God. Why does he sit? The Old Testament high priest, he stood. But Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why does he sit? Because he has finished the work he came to do. He has finished the work to secure our salvation. It means that God has accepted his work on the cross. If I do something physically, if I do a little bit of building work, I take delight in doing some physical work, and I may be creative. But after the work, there is a satisfaction when I sit down and I look at what I have created. Amen. I don't have to work anymore. It's complete. And that's what God has done. He has sat down while the work is finished. Now he's looking on. Justice has been satisfied. We're no longer under the curse. We're no longer under death. Praise God. So sitting, it speaks of a finished work, because of the finality of the work of the cross. And now he invites you. And if you're listening, if you're watching back home, maybe you don't understand this wonderful invitation. I pray that the Spirit of God would bring rest and peace into your heart. You don't have to strive in religion hoping to earn eternal life. You only have to accept the invitation that he gives to you freely. It doesn't come by works. It comes freely by grace. It's a gift. He invites you to come. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 4, we are invited to enter his rest as God did from his. And verse 11, he says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." Let us be diligent. Lest, listen, here is a concern. Lest what? Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So be diligent. Don't be lazy. Put on virtue. Add to your faith. Be diligent to enter God's rest. And I'm concerned that we could become complacent, even in lockdown. We're not seizing the opportunity to dig deeper, to grow in our spiritual lives. We can become lazy, and it's convenient, and just it's customer consumerism, where it's all about me and what I receive. No, be diligent to enter the rest. Be diligent not to strive into religion, but be diligent to know what God has planned for you and fulfill His will for your life. Be diligent. How can we be diligent? Well, if you look at the context of this chapter, it's amazing because Paul is writing out of concern. I believe the writer was Paul. Maybe it wasn't, but I'm of the belief it was. But he's concerned that a number of people, particularly from who had come from Judaism, had come to the faith, but some were drifting back because of the pressure upon their lives, the social pressure, the political pressure of moving from Judaism into Christianity. And for some, their experience was shallow, and for some, their faith was not real, but for others, it was. And he was concerned that they would drift, and that's why he writes this letter. It's an amazing letter. And if you look at the letter completely, it's amazing because it's a letter of better things. Jesus is better. The prophets, Jesus is better than prophets. He's better than better promises, a better covenant. It's all better, 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 amen. That's what the whole book is about. Because it's a better, we have a better mediator. We have a better high priest. It's based on a better covenant. It's better promises, amen. It's amazing. He shows the superiority of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came to rescue us. And he says, be diligent to enter the rest. Don't go down a road of religion. And so he writes to this group of people who were backsliding. They were drifting. They're drifting back into religion. Some were drifting back into their old ways. And if you look at the context, you see that clearly. How are we going to be diligent to enter God's rest? Well, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, we have to pay close attention to what we have heard. He said, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We've heard great things. Why? Because the gospel is superior. It is good news. The message we have from Jesus is superior to that of Moses. It's superior to that of Joshua. His rest is better than Joshua's rest. And he's making this contrast completely from chapter to chapter. And here he says, pay close attention, lest you drift. And I pray that none of you here at All Nations, where you, this is your family home, this is your connecting place, your spiritual home, you would drift. I pray that you won't drift. And the word drift here is drifting like a boat in the sea, being tossed to and fro with every wind. Yes, life has been so different for us over the past 16 months or whatever. But however, God is our anchor, amen, in the midst of the storm. Whatever comes, we have to find new ways of doing things and connecting. But don't drift. Pay close attention to what you've heard. And then in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, consider Jesus. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And we looked at our calling in Ephesians. Everything is related. And that's why he says, walk worthy of your calling. Praise God. Walk worthy of your calling. Just go in the annex, George, please. Thanks. Someone went in. Consider the apostle, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus. And then, looking at the context again, in verse 8 he says, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. And I pray that none of your hearts would become hard, so insensitive to the Spirit that you grieve the Holy Spirit. Hard hearts, failing to enter God's rest because God, you won't allow God to speak to you. You're stubborn in your ways. You're stubborn in your attitudes. God says, look, enter His rest. Be diligent. Don't harden your heart. And again, in verse 14, if you look at the context here of chapter 4, he says, For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We need to encourage one another. We're partakers together. And then we find here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. We should have a respect for unbelief. Thank you. We should have respect for God. We should have a respect lest unbelief grip our heart. That doesn't mean that we fear and think, oh, well, tomorrow I could lose my salvation. No, we have a respect for the things of God. That's what he means. It means that we respect, that we're not careless. We are diligent. We keep that which God has given to us. We continue in the faith. Day by day, we trust his promises. Amen. So rest. As I say to you, rest. Be diligent to enter his rest. Praise God. We rest in his provision. There's a lovely little verse found in Isaiah 30, verse 15. And this is what God says to you this morning. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. And quietness and confidence is your strength, but none of you. But you would have none of it. Only in returning to me and resting in me. So don't strive trying to find peace with God. Don't strive wondering whether you're a Christian or not. If you've come to faith in Christ, you have passed from death unto life. And the Bible says that we rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. But we miss out on God's peace. We miss out on God's peace and joy in our lives when we fail to enter his rest. So be diligent. Don't be lazy. Make every effort you can to add to your faith. Peter says virtue. Virtue, godliness. Godliness, love. He mentioned several things. Where we be diligent to add. Don't be complacent. So how can we be diligent? Well, I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will, what? You will find rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I pray that the word of God would penetrate into your heart today. God, if you're striving, if you're at unrest, there's no peace. There's turmoil, there's darkness. I pray that rest would just come, amen. You would enter his rest. I love how the message describes this portion of scripture. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. And I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn. Amen. I want you to learn. Learn what? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me and learn to live freely and lightly. Amen and amen. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So we need to learn to rest God's way. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn. The yoke was a piece of wood, normally used between a pair of oxen. And it enabled them to pull together. It harnessed them together to work together. And when we take his yoke upon our shoulders, it doesn't give us immunity from pain or suffering, but we discover a spiritual rest. We discover a peace, even in the midst of the storm, because Jesus said, my yoke and my burden is light. And we need to learn to align ourselves with his strength and his power. As the message puts it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. We need to learn to live by God's supernatural power. Amen. As we get into that yoke, that piece of wood between Jesus and me, I need to learn from him and take his strength and his provision and everything that he has done. I needed to take it upon my shoulders because it's light. I don't need to strive anymore in religion hoping that I'm going to make it. I'm accepted. Hallelujah. With all my faults and failures, he's accepted me. Glory to God. I can be at peace with God. I've entered his rest. Proverbs 24 says, if you feel in the days of adversity, your strength is small. And maybe, God forbid, maybe you're failing. Maybe some of you are failing emotionally, failing physically, they're failing. It's maybe because your strength is small. Because as we have learned before in the book of Ephesians, it's not our strength, but we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because we do fail, we are weak. But let the weak say, I am strong, and let the poor say, I am rich. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And as we enter his rest, we align ourselves to his grace and his mercy, and his grace and his mercy. Oh, they're sufficient, and I will go at his pace and his rhythm. Amen. And he says, if I say my foot slips, your mercy will hold me up. And you can look back, we were singing earlier on about the faithfulness of God. You can look back on life, and you can just see how God has been looking after you, and God has been faithful to you. From the moment you accepted Christ, how God has kept you. As I put on his yoke, I need to live by his rhythm. I don't drag behind. If we live in the Spirit, we ought to keep in step with the Spirit. Praise God. In my early days, going back some years ago, I was brought up on a church of Ireland, which was an Anglican church. I didn't really hear the gospel at that particular church. However, I was brought up to go to the Boys' Brigade on Thursday night. Cousins and I, we would walk to the church hall to go to the Boys' Brigade. Those were fascinating nights. We did things we ought not to. We teased one another. We were forever daring one another. I dare you to jump off that wall, Jim. And he did jump off and ended up in hospital, but that's another story. And we would dare, coming home on it late from the Boys' Brigade, we would dare, let's walk through the graveyard. And we would suddenly hear a noise or see a shadow, and we would run in fear of our lives. And we have great memories on a Thursday night. But it was great discipline on the Boys' Brigade, really great discipline. You know, you had to do certain marches. And you know, any young person, you know, it's absolutely brilliant discipline. And we loved it. But I can remember marching, and I won't march here before you because the cameras aren't going to pick me up, but marching, and I can hear the officer shouting, "Finning! Finning! Stop lagging!" I was lagging behind. You know, you have to keep in the right step. But are you lagging behind spiritually? Are you lagging? You're failing to enter his rest. There's no diligence. There's no urgency. There's no effort in your spiritual life to enter his rest. You're lagging. And I pray and I love it. We're getting back to the school next week just to have a connecting factor with our community. Amen. With our church community, and just to encourage one another. But let us not lag. Let us have an alignment with him, amen. His thoughts will be my thoughts, because his thoughts of me are precious. And sometimes we don't align ourselves with the Master. We don't align ourselves with Jesus because we've got our thinking all wrong. And that's one of the things I enjoyed about Ephesians, is that we can't be lazy. We have to engage the mind. As Paul says, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And Jesus said, "I want you to learn of me." Come on, it's not laziness. You learn from me. Learn my rhythm. Learn how I'm doing it. Learn. If you think that becoming a Christian is a matter of, "Well, I've arrived and I just sit back and do nothing," you have mistaken the concept of Christianity. Yes, thank God we sit with him, but we sit and we walk together. Worthy. Because he's our teacher. He's our master. He has taught us a different way. We've been taught truth. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4. We don't walk as the Gentiles walk. In other words, we don't walk like the unbeliever. We engage our mind. We engage action. We do something about life. I hear amen. Maybe those of you watching at home, you're saying amen. I don't know. Maybe you're switching me off at this point. But I love the word of God because it challenges you. Hallelujah. You can't read this word and not be challenged, because it challenges your thinking. It challenges your behavior. That's why many today are compromising on it, because they don't like what God says. God is a killjoy. No, God knows all things. And he sets boundaries for my protection. He sets boundaries for my fulfillment and my joy. He's not a killjoy. He's looking after me. I can drive safely home, or I can't today because I have no car. But I could drive safely home with the understanding of peace, because there are boundaries. There's a highway code, amen. Think of the confusion in the world if there were no boundaries playing sport, boundaries on the roads. And God has set boundaries in our lives. So take the word, be diligent to enter his rest. Don't be lazy. Continue to walk. You can't just do your own thing. As you take the yoke upon you, you're surrendering to him. We learn his ways of living. And you learn from something. It could be your upbringing. It could be the culture around you that you're learning from. It could be your parents. But Jesus is offering you an opportunity to learn from him and to make our lives meaningful. "Get into the yoke with me," he says. "Let me disciple you. I will carry the weight of your burden. My yoke is good. And you will find rest." That is what Jesus is saying to you today. Amen. Don't follow religion. Follow me. Get into this relationship and learn from me. We rest not only in the provision and the power that he's given to us, but we rest in his promises. He has taught us not only to rest in the provision, but his promises. If you go on into the book of Hebrews, we see that we have better promises because of the better covenant, because Jesus is a better mediator. Everything is better. Better. Praise God. In chapter 8 and verse 6, he says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, insomuch that he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And then the writer to the Hebrews quotes the Old Testament, praise God, and talks about how God will put his laws, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them and led them out of Egypt. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? Because they will know me, praise God. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins. I will remember no more. Praise God. Better promises. Why? Because we have a better mediator based on a better covenant, a better agreement. Praise God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Glory. I am forgiven in Christ. My sins are taken away and I am accepted. Praise him. We can rest from our labors because we sit with him in heavenly places, because we have committed our lives to him. We can trust him. That doesn't mean that I become lazy. That's not what I'm saying, as you know, because Paul, the writer, says, be diligent. But it means that I'm not trying to do things in order to enter the rest. I'm not trying to do religious things to be accepted. I am forgiven. I am already accepted. I am a saint. And you're saying amen to that, I hear you. But it's true. I'm a saint. May not feel it at times. I may not look it. And I certainly may not behave like it. But according to God, I am a saint. That's how God sees me, because of what Jesus has done. And as I've said before, with our nice stained glass windows, maybe one day St. Billy Fenning will be up there. Maybe not. Maybe not. Whilst we can joke, remember the seriousness of the fact we are saints. Amen. Saints. And then, let's move on. Because God wants you to rest in his peace. The message puts it, are you burnt out on religion? Burnt out. Trying to run, trying to strive. Come to know God's rest. God's new way of living. The other week I looked at the story of Ruth and Boaz. And how Ruth went to Boaz and got him to put in action the Israeli custom of covering her, of marrying her, of protecting her. You look at the story, it's an amazing love story. And Ruth gets home to Naomi and tells her exactly what happened. Naomi understands that Boaz was willing to really do something about the process of marrying this beautiful young girl. And it had to be someone next of kin. And that night, I'm sure Ruth was confused, maybe a bit unsure, because Boaz had to be the nearest. And he was going to make sure the process would take place. And Naomi, she used wise words to Ruth and said, sit still, my daughter. Sit still. Because the man will not rest until he has finished. And you know what God says to you as a saint, as a believer, one who's forgiven, one who's loved with everlasting love, he says to you, sit still, my child. Because the man, he will not rest. And thank God he did not rest. Because Calvary was the ultimate sacrifice whereby he too has rested now from his works. And he invites you and I into a new way. Trust the words of Boaz, Naomi was saying. And God says to you this morning, trust my words, know my peace. Because the man, Christ Jesus, is active, interceding for you. And he will complete that in your life which he has started. Let the promises of God conquer all fear and all doubt. Amen. Because that which God has started in your life, he will bring to completion. Amen. Glory to God. One day, the scaffolding will come down. All we see is scaffolding around a building. Oh, but one day, it all will come down and reveal a glorious building, a glorious bride. Amen. And the Bible says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So we need to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. Our focus must be on him, not our circumstances. So are you learning from the Master? I pray that you take that piece of wood, take it and put it on your shoulder, around your neck, and don't strive in your own thing, but learn a new way of living. Not striving. We are yoked to him, and he is gently leading us. Finally, one last thought. Rest in his purposes. We align ourselves with him. Not only do we discover his provision, not only do we discover his power and his peace and his promises, we discover his purpose for our lives. I love it when Jesus appeared to the disciples who were locked in because of fear of the Jews. It was after resurrection, and then Jesus, he appears to them. And what does he do? He reveals himself to them. And they were glad. He restores joy to them. He gives peace to them. He says, my peace I leave with you. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, listen, at that moment, they were born of the Spirit after the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Spirit, praise God. They were filled again with the Spirit. But on that day, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And they were born again of the Spirit. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. What did he do? Not only does he give peace and joy, he gives direction. And God wants to give you direction in life. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before I would take a car journey, and of course these were the days before satellites, and the days before you had the simplicity of maps on a mobile phone, and you just click the map and you get your destination. It's fascinating. And if there's traffic down the road, it will divert you to another way. And I had a funny story on Monday. It wasn't so funny because I ended up joining the road and traffic again because I thought I knew a better way. And, of course, I was up in Manchester. And on the Monday, we went out on the Derbyshire Dales and coming through one of the towns, my sat-nav took me to the right. And I thought, why is it taking my way up here? And I thought, I don't like this road. I just take the main road again. And suddenly when I took the main road, there was a traffic jam for a good 15 minutes. And then I suddenly discovered why my sat-nav wanted to take me a different way. You know, it's so easy now. But George was probably around. He's old enough. The days when we didn't have sat-navs. But when you did a car journey, you had to take a map. And I would study the map. I would find out what roads I was going on. I can remember us taking a three-week break when the boys were small, and we had a holiday in France, and we had a camping holiday. It was fascinating. It was around half term, and those days you could take them out of school, and they were taken out of school. Didn't do them any harm, however, but we, you know, after 3 weeks, we had enough of camping, I must admit. However, I can remember the weeks before going on that camping holiday to France. I knew what road I was going to take coming through Paris, what road I needed out of Paris and to go down to the south of France. I knew exactly what roads I was on. I didn't take a chance that somehow I would find my way. Why on earth do I take a chance spiritually with my eternal destiny, thinking that I know better than God? Why on earth would I take a chance with all the eternal ramifications of heaven and hell when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? If I study so hard to get my way from Reading through Paris to the south of France, then I should be much more diligent to make sure I'm on God's way. And I know God's way. Don't take a chance. I pray that you would know God's purpose. I pray this morning that you would take that yoke upon you and learn of him. For those of you who are believers, don't strive any longer. Come on, trust him. He's sovereign God after all, amen. He is in control of your life. Nothing takes him by surprise. And if you don't know him this morning, I pray that you would come and accept Christ as your God, as your Savior. I pray that you would discover eternal life. Let's pray together. As we're in the attitude of prayer, and particularly for those of you watching online, maybe you don't know God's rest. Maybe you don't know God's peace. Maybe you've gone down the road of religion, but it's not satisfying. You don't know whether you've done enough good works to know peace. You'll never do enough good works because we're weak. We can't. And if you're watching this morning or here at church, and you have never entered God's rest, you've never come to that place where you committed your life to him, today you can commit your life to God. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, and even at home, you can make this simple prayer. Dear Father, I come to you today and I acknowledge my need of Jesus. I consider him to be my high priest. I consider him to be my mediator. And I ask, O God, that you come into my life as I trust you as my God and as my Savior. Lord, you've promised that you'd forgive me of my sin. God, you've promised that you'd give me the gift of eternal life. And so this day I get into this new harness with you. Teach me your way, O God. Teach me your way and lead me in the path of righteousness. And this day I receive your gift of life. I turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer today, here or at home, why don't you tell someone? Why don't you just email me here at All Nations? And we would love to give you some literature to help you on your journey of faith, to help you on a new roadmap that you too will know destiny for your life. that you too will know peace and rest. God bless you.